Beware of this kind of prayer that tries to manipulate God in order to get his blessings, because it is a prayer that aims not to get more of God, it aims to get more of God's stuff. That's what we're after. And prayer, friends, that uses God to get his stuff will never work.
Welcome to Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy. We're glad you've joined us today for this series through the Sermon on the Mount. Pastor Philip, praying for our needs, that's most likely what most people do. But you're saying perhaps we ought to think about a better way here.
Yeah, I mean, I think we naturally pray about our needs, and God cares about those needs, right? He loves to give good gifts to his children. He knows what we need before we even ask. And so he wants to hear about our desires, our hopes, our dreams, our pain points, the needs, our concerns. He cares about all those things.
Yes.
And but the problem is prayer can slip into kind of a laundry list. Or a to-do list. It's sort of like, here's all the stuff we need you to do, God, you know, just almost a punch list for him to complete. Mm-hmm. Or worse off, it can feel like a vending machine where we're just sort of like, I need E4. I need the candy bar in E4. And so punch it in, put in whatever I need to so I can get what I need from God. That's what my prayer tool is for. And which of course is just, it's so much less than what God intends prayer to be. And what, on the bad side, it can almost feel like we're trying to manipulate God or try to pull the levers to try to control our own lives and get what we want from God. And God's not a vending machine. He's not a genie in the bottle. He's the living God. He's our Father. And prayer is primarily designed for intimacy with him. And so Jesus is going to call us back to a fresh heart of prayer that seeks after God, not his stuff, today.
Well, stay tuned, beloved, because after the message, we're going to have this wonderful discussion regarding the complexities of unanswered prayer. You want to stick around for that. But now, let's go to the pulpit of the Moody Church as we begin part two of the sermon, Pray Then Like This. Grab your Bibles. Our text today is Matthew chapter 6. We're going to look at verses 5 through 13.
That's the first way prayer doesn't work. It's when we have our eyes on others, when we're looking to others. The second way prayer doesn't work is when we're looking to ourselves, looking to ourselves. Look at verse 7. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask him. It says the second way I don't want you to pray is like the Gentiles. The Gentiles, that won't work either. The Gentiles, the word here is the ethne, the nations, the pagans, the non-Jewish people, people who are obviously far from God because they don't follow the Jewish way of life in the first century. Their prayers, Jesus says, are full of repetition and pleading and flattery and well-oiled phrases rehearsed in order to try to get something through to God. They have many words, literally a torrent of words. The torrent, the magic formulas, the secret incantations, the shamanistic rituals, torrential prayer, a deluge that even God can't resist. That's the idea. If we could just find the right combination of magic words, if we could just crack the code, press the right buttons, you know. It's like God is a giant vending machine in the sky, and you want the candy, and so you're like, what's the combination of buttons and money I have to put into the machine so I can get my little treat to come out the slot? This kind of prayer aims to manipulate God, to win him over so that you get his blessings, to do whatever it takes to get through, beg, plead, bargain, flatter, swear, whatever it takes. I'll say anything if I could just get God to give in to what I want. And Jesus says, beware. Beware of this kind of prayer that tries to manipulate God in order to get his blessings, because it is a prayer that aims not to get more of God. It's just, it aims to get more of God's stuff. That's what we're after. And prayer, friends, that uses God to get his stuff will never work. Prayer that uses God to get his stuff will never work, because we're not using prayer the way it's designed to work. Prayer is about God. It's about relationship with him. It's about bringing my heart and my life and exposing it to him so that his grace and relationship might make me holy and transform and change me. But when I twist prayer into a mechanical, magical incantation formula so that I can manipulate God to get his blessings and his stuff, it's not about getting more of God. It's about just getting more of his stuff. Imagine if you were a guy and you were madly in love with a young lady and you decide to get engaged and you're all excited about planning your wedding and you have some significant family wealth. And during the planning process of the wedding, your fiance, she learns that your family's wealth is structured in a trust in such a way that she'll never actually have access to the money. And so she dumps you. How do you feel? You feel used and dirty, right? Because she wasn't after you. She was after your stuff. She didn't love you. She's just a gold digger, right? Another phrase you probably thought you would never hear from the pulpit of Moody Church. And look, God says, look, I'm not going to let you use me just to get my stuff. I can tell when what you really want is my blessings, not me. You just want health and wealth and comfort and ease and happiness and healing. But you're not that into me. And if it's me you want, I'm all in. But I'm not going to let you just use me. You don't like to be used. God doesn't either. Prayer doesn't work like that. Prayer doesn't work when we're looking to others. It doesn't work when we're looking to ourselves. Well, how does it work? Well, look, it works like this when we're looking to our Father. Looking to our Father. Look at this beautiful prayer Jesus gives us. Verse 9, pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now we're going to have a chance to walk through this, the Lord's Prayer, over the next coming talks. We're going to do a mini sub-series after Easter. We'll take a little break, do Easter, and then we'll come back, and we're going to walk through the Sermon on the Mount phrase by phrase. But for now, what I want you to see is how Jesus is giving us a third way to pray. Jesus is giving us a third way to pray. He's contrasting it with the hypocrites and the Gentiles. This prayer is the prayer of a child. It's the prayer of a child. It is prayer that pursues our Father with childlike trust, intimacy, and surrender, which will always be answered. It is prayer that pursues our Father with childlike trust, intimacy, and surrender, which will always be answered. Look at these phrases. Our Father in heaven. Did you know that Jesus is the first person in the Bible or in all of history to address God in prayer as Father? He's the first one. This is a radical breakthrough of relational closeness in the Bible. And it's not just Jesus, the Son of God, who prays this way. That shouldn't surprise us. But Jesus is teaching us to pray this way, his disciples to pray, our Father. How can he do that? Because to all who received him, Jesus. To all who believed in his name, he gives the right to become children of God. John 1:12. In the coming of Jesus, friends, it's as if Jesus is saying, my coming has ushered in a whole new dynamic of relational closeness between you and God, and it's all happening because I came here, which is exactly right. Just think of how different this prayer would read if it started with our Creator who is in heaven, or our Master who is in heaven, our Lord who is in heaven. All of those things would be true, right? It'd all be true. But Jesus is intentionally shocking his audience and saying, our Father. The picture is of a child running into the arms of her father. Pray like that, Jesus says. Pray looking to our Father as a child, not looking to others in order to use God to look good so people will accept you, not looking to yourself, using God to get his stuff so you can be, you know, happy and use it in life, but looking to our Father, pursuing him with childlike trust, intimacy, and surrender. Friends, this is a big difference. The heart of the orphan uses prayer, misuses prayer in all kinds of ways to self-aggrandize and build an ego so that you can fit in the world. The heart of the orphan uses prayer in order to self-serve and take care of his needs, fending for himself. But this is different. This is the heart of a child who knows that he has a loving father and he simply wants to be close, full of trust, surrender to the love of his father. It's a different picture. Look at how the prayer unfolds. Hallowed be your name. Father, may your name be exalted and honored everywhere as holy. And in my life too, would you be seen as holy in me, holy in my life? May I be wholly devoted to you, full of trust and obedience and worship. You see this? It's a beautiful picture. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May your kingly reign preside over all things in creation, including this life, my own life, because you are my king, and I am here at your service. And oh, that everything might be brought under your rule and your will would be done, that the whole earth would be made right and new and whole on earth as it is in heaven. That there would be justice and peace and equity and wholeness and blessing from every place and every time. Have your way in this world and in me too. Not my will, but yours be done. There's no image bolstering here. There's no torrent of manipulative words. Just simple childlike trust, intimacy, and surrender. See, prayer in this mode is less about conforming God to what I want, and it's more about me conforming to what he wants. Give us this day our daily bread. Father, we're needy, we're desperate, and you're the one who provides. Please give us what we need when we need it. After all, our Father knows exactly what we need before we even ask. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Every relationship needs regular forgiveness, doesn't it? And none more so than our relationship with our Father. As we daily, hourly, minute by minute fall short of the glory of God, because we cherish our relationship with him, we keep short accounts with him and with others, because you cannot love God and hate your brother. We know this. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This world is full of temptation, tests, traps, things that can take us down. And we know we're weak. We know we're frail. And so we ask God to protect us from the things that could wreck our lives. But if they do come, we pray that he would preserve us safely to the other side, that evil would not take us down. See, it's such a simple prayer, isn't it? There's no guile, no magic words or formulas here. In fact, one of the abuses of the Lord's Prayer is that we turn it into ritual and formula. That's the opposite of what Jesus is trying to do here. This is the prayer rising from the heart of a child who simply knows that his good Father is watching over him. Our eyes are not on others trying to look good in front of them. Our eyes are not on ourselves just trying to get God's stuff so we can get by. Our eyes are on our Father. And we're using prayer to pursue him with childlike trust, intimacy, and surrender.
This is Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy. And before we start our discussion today, I wanted to let you know that this program is made possible because of generous supporters just like you. And as a thank you for your gift today, we have a resource we'd love to share with you. To get yours, simply go to livinghopeoffer.com or you can call us at 1-800-215-5001. We're so glad you've joined us today as we have a really good discussion planned about how our Heavenly Father meets our needs. Now, Pastor Philip, there's so much evil around us, and certainly the enemy is real and he's sneaky. And in even the disciples' prayer that the Lord gave us, that can be twisted into something that's unintended and disingenuous. So let me ask you this. I think where I'm going here, how do we keep our prayer life from just becoming this empty ritual where we're just reciting words?
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. And it can happen so easily, right? And that's one of the dangers with the Lord's Prayer is that we recite it so much, it loses its meaning. It's just something we do. I remember when I was a kid, we would wake up, we would do sometimes family devotions in the morning or whatever. And then we would go around and pray. And every day I prayed basically the same formulaic thing as a kid. I'd just say, God, thanks for the day. And please help us to get our stuff done and help us to be kind and amen. You know, it's just sort of my thing.
Right.
And I just realized that I don't know when I was in my mid teenage years, I was just like, I pray the same thing every day. There's nothing like it's like muscle memory, autopilot. I'm not actually thinking. Mm. My heart's not in it. I'm just doing it. And I think our table prayers can get like that. You know, it's sort of, you know, thanks for the food, God. Amen. It's like, we're not actually appreciating, you know, and our hearts are not really there. It's just sort of a thing we do because we're supposed to or whatever. And and that could just happen, right? And I think what Jesus is pulling us back to is the heart of the matter, which is like, don't just use your words in prayer to just say the right things or do the right things or punch the right buttons or try to get God on your side or all this sort of manipulative sort of language that we can use in prayer, but actually mean it. Use your words with your heart. Be present, seek his face. Like that's what prayer is for. It's not for this other stuff. So I think it's good for us to sort of, when we catch ourselves in routines like that, to sort of just say, okay, let me just break the flow. Let me break the flow. Let me try to pray in with a different way. Let me lead out differently. Let me actually speak from the heart, not from my muscle memory or my routine. Get off the script and actually just be present with the Lord. And sometimes we're like, I don't know how to do that, right? And so then you can turn to the prayers of Scripture. Look at the prayers of Paul or the prayers that we see in the Gospels and just or the Psalms. Look at how people are approaching the Lord. Look at the variety. Look at the different tones. Look at the lament and the joys and the celebration and the thanksgiving and the confession and the adoration and all the requests. And like, just look at all the diversity of that. And even just use that as a catalyst to try to help sort of break out of the mold. And I think that can be helpful.
This is Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. We're glad you're with us. We're talking about prayer and our needs. And Pastor, you know, one verse that gets misused a lot, Matthew 7:11. If you then, being evil, know how to give good things to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good things to those that ask? Okay, I'm asking. He's not answering. What's going on? Why didn't God answer my prayers?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think we've said this over the years in church, but just that God always answers prayer. It's just not always yes.
That's right.
Sometimes it's no, and sometimes it's wait. One of the things that's complicated for us is that Jesus has saved us. We have a foretaste of all the glories that are coming, but we're waiting for the fullness of the kingdom when he returns and all things are set to rights. And so we have a right longing for everything to be mended and everything to be made right and everything to be whole and good and for all of everything to be happy, right? And we long for that, but we're still in a broken world and we're waiting for the fullness of what's to come. And so there are things that God has said yes to ultimately in the restoration of all things, but they're not actually things we're going to get immediately. And we're not good at delayed gratification. You know, we want it now, you know? And so I think it's important for us to remember that God's heart is always good, however he answers our prayers. If he says yes, it's because he knows that what that is that we've asked for is actually going to be good for us. If he says no, it's because he knows something more than we know.
Yeah.
Like Timothy Keller says, God always gives us what we would have asked for if we knew everything he knows. In other words, he knows way more than I do. And I think, man, this has got to be good for me. And I'm praying for it. It's got to be something that God would answer. But he knows more than I know. And I've got to trust him with that gap. And when he says no to something, that he actually has good intentions for me. It's not, he's not sticking it to me.
Yes.
God has already put his yes on the table when he sent us Jesus. And he's not going to withhold any good thing from us if it's a good thing, right? But not everything is actually good. So I don't really even know how to pray. That's why the Holy Spirit groans with me and gives with words I can't even express, right? So the whole point, I think, of prayer is ultimately not about the stuff we get. It's about the God we get in the midst of everything we go through in life. And if I can start to realize that, I realize that prayer is actually changing me as I pray. That it's not just about pressing God to do what I want. It's about me actually learning to submit my will to what God wants. And actually, that's a win at the end of the day, because all the stuff is going to come and it's going to go.
That's right.
But who I'm becoming in Jesus Christ will last forever. And that's something worth investing in.
I hope this has been an encouragement to you today, beloved. Remember, in our prayer life, we don't inform God of anything. He already knows what we need, and he's willing to provide for our needs. When we stop trying to press God into our mold, we find that prayer actually changes us. We become the kind of person who looks to God to meet our true needs. To help you on that journey of transformation, we're offering Pastor Erwin Lutzer's booklet, Walking with Jesus, A Radical Return to His Priorities. This resource helps you move beyond the status quo to find deep contentment in God, even when life feels isolated or dry. It's time to simplify your spiritual life and make your heart a home where Christ always feels welcome. Request your copy today and learn to submit your will to His perfect plan. To get your copy of Walking with Jesus, for a donation of any amount, simply go to livinghopeoffer.com or call us 1-800-215-5001. That's livinghopeoffer.com, 1-800-215-5001. You can also write to us at Moody Church Media, 1635 North LaSalle Drive, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Submission is the gateway to a deeper intimacy with the Savior. And next time, we'll talk about praying to grow closer to God. Thanks for joining us for Living Hope, where you'll always find gospel truth for the journey of a lifetime. Living Hope is a production of Moody Church Media and is sponsored by The Moody Church.